heartland of America and the gateway to the West. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines later this hour. At the end of this hour, our special Memorial Day tribute to soldiers. It'll be right at the end of this hour. And then next hour, Dr. Richard Heyman joins us. The Unknown Universe. Kind of a strange space story for you tonight. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy Richard C. Hoagland in just a moment, too, because the Phoenix has landed, and quite successfully, by the way. Well, I tell you what, here in the Midwest, popped in for just a little bit of time, had to go to a wedding, going to see my little grandchild and my kids, and then spend about 6-7 days here in St. Louis before I head back to Los Angeles. It has still not stopped raining in St. Louis. This has just been unbelievable. The entire Midwest has been hit with just torrential storms. As a matter of fact, I was woken up early in the morning, thought I'd get some sleep. No, wasn't going to happen. The loudest thunderstorms I've ever heard in my life. I mean, shaking the house. It was vibrating, and it was just that loud. But in the Midwest, disaster teams searched for more victims in areas devastated by weekend tornadoes that have killed at least 9 people in the Midwest. 6 people die in Iowa, 3 in Minnesota, including a little toddler. A sad story there. Chinese officials say that the country's one-child policy exempts families with a child killed, severely injured, or disabled in that country's devastating earthquake. Those families can obtain a certificate. How about that? To have another child. The earthquake has left more than 65,000 people dead so far, 23,000 missing. Officials have not been able to estimate the number of children killed. Chinese couples who have more than one child are commonly punished by fines. In Hawaii, a 28-year-old man is dead after jumping off an 85-foot ledge at the Big Island Waterfall. The Hawaii County Fire Department says the man didn't resurface after jumping into the pond downstream 12-ton bridge outside of Hilo. Bystanders jumped in after him but were very unsuccessful in their rescue attempt. Academy Award-winning director Sidney Pollack, he's great, a Hollywood mainstay who achieved commercial success and critical acclaim with the gender-bending comedy Tootsie and the period drama Out of Africa, has died. He was 73. Pollack died of cancer at his home at Pacific Palisades in Los Angeles, surrounded by his family. He had been diagnosed with cancer about 9 months ago. Pollack, who occasionally appeared on the screen himself, worked with and gained the respect of Hollywood's best actors in a long career that reached prominence in the 1970s and 1980s. He was in Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut.
I don't think you realize what kind of trouble you were in. You've been way out of your depth.
Stanley Kubrick. Great movie. He died before he ended up finishing his movie, and Sidney Pollack dies at the age of 73. The new Indiana Jones film shot to the top of the North American box office chart, taking $126 million in its first 4 days on release. Released 19 years already after the last Indiana Jones film, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull opened on Thursday. It is going to become the second most lucrative film to open on the U.S. Memorial Day holiday weekend. The most successful film happened in 2007. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. That took in $139 million. The NASA spacecraft Phoenix has sent back historic pictures of an unexplored region of Mars. It's on the coasttocoastam.com website. Also, it's on the enterprisemission.com website. The Mars Phoenix lander touched down in the far north of the red planet after a 423-million-mile journey from Earth. In a moment, Richard C. Hoagland, our science advisor, fresh back from a keynote speech at the Libertarian Party. He'll tell us about this historic landing next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, as I mentioned, successful landing of NASA spacecraft Phoenix, the Phoenix lander, touching down in the far northern region of Mars. On the line with us now, Richard C. Hoagland, EnterpriseMission.com. Hey, Richard, how are you?
Good evening, George. Well, you know, I don't know where to begin. Robin and I had such a fabulous weekend in Denver. It is so invigorating in this political season to be immersed in the heart and soul of the American electoral and democratic process. It is just so amazing. I mean, do you remember when you were a kid watching, you know, Republican or Democratic conventions on TV or maybe listening to them on radio?
How did you know as a kid I did that?
Because you're a political kind of guy. Come on. You know, take
yeah,
one
I
and
did.
No one.
I did.
And it was real participatory democracy. The conventions weren't formal rituals where they just go through the motions and announce a coronation and all that. You had floor fights. You had real rules problems. You had policy differences. You had people hammering out consensus and collaboration and compromise. I mean, what politics is all about. We got to experience, George, through that entire weekend, all of it. And I can't tell you how many people came up to me after my speech on Friday night, which went a little longer than 2 hours.
I predicted that.
There were people in the hall taking bets. Anyway, they came up to me, and they are listeners. They follow you avidly. They are at the cutting edge of the things that are important to constituents and to the politics of this country as we move, you know, toward this year of 2012. I met one guy in particular who you have got to have on as a guest. His name is Joe Buckman.
Okay.
He is running for Congress from the 1st District in Utah, which is the northwestern part of the state, including Salt Lake City, or part of Salt Lake. He and I had such a meeting of the minds, because as opposed to his weird press, you know, the mainstream press take the hind leg of the dog and run with it. It's kind of like some of the things that are said about me on the Internet or, you know, in the Herald Tribune. Turns out that Joe and I see eye to eye on so many issues about getting the truth, protecting whistleblowers, ferreting out information that we taxpayers have paid for and are not garnering any benefit from. I mean, I spent my 2 hours laying out what NASA has been hiding that would be incredibly useful to have now in the arsenal for the energy problems we face, geopolitical terrorism, national security, bottom line gas tank prices, you know, new ways of transforming the transportation sector. All of these things Buckman is going to run on, and he wants me to advise his campaign.
Now, you did tape this for me because I want to run a pretty good clip of you Friday if you can get it to Tom in time.
Yeah, Ted
can you do that?
Ted St. Rain and Robin together tape the entire thing in HD. What we'll do is we'll dub off a audio track, which is what I guess you
okay.
need.
Okay, I got to get it in a couple days because we lost a day because of Monday.
We'll get you the soundtrack, and you can pick and choose, you know, the key things you think are interesting. It was very logically organized. I tried to compress it so it could be used as a kind of a campaign manifesto for anybody interested. And you know who the Libertarians actually nominated for their presidential candidate?
Bob Barr, right?
Bob Barr.
Yeah.
Bob Barr received a personal signed copy of Dark Mission.
And I hope he reads it.
Well, he seems to be interested in some of these same issues. And we're, you know, I hate the D word, you know, the so-called disclosure, because it makes it sound like, you know, we're living at the fiat of government that will deign to someday tell us the truth. Whereas, in fact, you got to basically fight for the truth and you got to use the tools of democracy to do it. It turns out that Barr is planning to help support local candidates around the country as part of a very invigorated Libertarian Party. I mean, for my entry into politics to come in through that door was very interesting, because there is such a diversity of opinion as to the role of government in the Libertarian Party, ranging all the way from, you know, almost anarchy to somewhat more government than we have now, which, of course, is at the other end of the spectrum.
Well, I think it was fun that they invited you. I mean, I think that is historic all by itself, Richard.
Well, Betty Rose deserves tremendous credit, and Travis Nix, who is the son of Ron Nix, one of our geologists, who has been on Coast many times. And they were all intrigued and impressed with what I had to bring to the table. I was intrigued and impressed, as was Robin, with the caliber of the people that we met. And, George, how many people came up and said, I followed you for years on Coast, since, obviously, before you took that chair. Because you know that Art joined the Libertarian Party several years ago.
Right. And as you know, I am nonpartisan.
That's what I represented. You have to remain nonpartisan.
That's one
of your key roles. Now, what was really cool is that on Sunday night, we had the banquet where, you know, the nominees get to kind of talk about their plans and for the coming election. And right before the banquet started, we landed on Mars. So we snuck up to our room, and I watched the landing on CNN, no NASA TV, no big screen, no nothing, you know, scribbling down some notes. And then I went down, and the chairman of the Libertarian National Committee invited me up to the podium to address the banquet, including the presidential candidate, Mr. Barr. And I was able to announce proudly that the United States of America had once again successfully landed on Mars in a mode that it had not done since Viking some 30-plus years ago in 1976.
What great timing. Did they cheer? They had to have.
Well, yeah. And you know when we landed this one on Mars, meaning we, NASA? 19.5.
Uh-huh.
19 hours, 53 minutes Eastern Standard Time.
Let's rule one thing out, by the way. I've been getting hundreds of emails and pictures from people who say they see some kind of object in the foreground, some kind of thing sticking out. To me, it doesn't look like anything. Can we rule out that?
Well, I'd like to be able to, but I've been on an airplane all evening, and I was not able to gain access to the Internet going between hotel and Denver Airport.
All right, so you haven't seen
this picture. I haven't actually seen, other than some of the horizon shots, and to characterize the context of the landing site, I have seen no details. So I'm like a newborn babe.
Okay. Well,
I've heard rumors there's something. I haven't looked at it.
Okay. I'm going to report
to you what I think it is when I have a chance to look. The one thing I can say is that we definitely are in the Arctic. This is tundra.
We are there, and it looks pretty flat, doesn't it?
Well, it's as flat as Kansas, Dorothy. It really is. It's tundra. It's like landing in Siberia. Except there are no trees, there are no swamps, there are no bogs. But there is something, if you looked at some of the pictures in the foreground, called patterned ground. Have you seen some of these images?
Yes,
and
yes.
And you see these straight lines that are kind of polygonal. They look like a checkerboard, indentations in the soil.
That is
a crystal clear indication of frozen water, ice, beneath the surface. And remember, the name of the game for this mission is starting 2 days from now and extending for 90 days. They will use the robot arm, the little digger, to actually scoop deeper and deeper and deeper through the overlying layers of dust and soil till they get down, hopefully, within the reach of that arm, to the level of where the ice exists. Now, given the size of these polygons and given the nature of the comparison with Earth tundras, I think they may have ice within reach of the sample arm, in which case this could get extraordinarily exciting. And I got to tell you one thing. I went out on a limb based on what I know about NASA and what Mike and I said in Dark Mission, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, I am willing to go on record that before the election in November, whoever is elected president of the United States, NASA, based on the results of this mission, quite likely could announce the presence of former life on Mars based on the discovery of organics in the soil underneath the lander. And we will now see whether I am correct.
That would be exciting. And is all this also, Richard, a prelude to eventually putting a man on Mars?
Oh, obviously. And we have to discuss national priorities. We have to discuss what there is really there. We have to discuss ruins and solar system-wide civilization. The thing that impressed me about Joe Buckman is that he is absolutely, based on the evidence he saw, willing to adopt some of the things that you and I have discussed on this show for many, many years as part of his mainstream campaign, libertarian campaign, to gain a seat in Congress as part of a tremendous onrush of new people. We will probably see a Congress full of as many new people as were elected in the Gingrich Revolution, so-called, back in 1994. And all of these people, the ones that I met at the convention, are imbued with the idea that we've got to do something to return this country closer to the principle of the founding fathers and closer to the idea of people being responsible for their own government once again.
I had an interesting call.
Is a key part of that platform.
Last week during one of our open line nights, someone called in and said, you know, we've got so many problems at home. You know, people are uptight. Why? And I want to ask you this. Why are we spending so much for a space program when we can just spend it here? I've never asked you that question. I tried to answer the person by simply telling them we've got to go into space. We've still got to experiment and we've got to try, regardless of cost, even though some of us are getting hurt here on this planet today. What do you think about all that?
you're putting me on the spot because it's not a simple answer.
It is not.
Yeah. The simplest way I can...
You got people starving and we're spending money to go to Mars. It's not a simple answer.
Okay. The simplest way I can approach it is you have to think of the federal budget. We'll only restrict our conversation to the federal budget as redistribution of income, all right, national defense, and fundamental research and development. Of those three categories, defense, redistribution, the only part of the federal budget that makes the country richer, George, is R&D, that creates literally new wealth. I mean, I had some really interesting, vigorous discussions with libertarians who, of course, want governments to shrink and almost go away and think the private sector can do everything. Well, I gave them an example in my speech how 4 years ago, a very tiny agency connected to the Defense Department called DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which, by the way, was the progenitor of NASA in 1958. That's a whole other program to talk about. Consisting only of 140 people, not 140,000 or 14,000, but 140 people in DARPA, gave four grants to four major corporations in this country, four startups, for the development of thin film solar cells, which you and I have discussed in the last couple of programs, right? That grant in 4 years has now matured to a commercially available, radical, fundamental, shocking breakthrough in the price of solar cell technology, from something like $7 a watt down to 36 cents a watt, where it's competitive with coal and oil and natural gas and all the other things, and it's infinite. It's free. It's free energy from the sun, finally at a marketable price. You know why these startups had to go to the federal government to get that money to develop the technology?
And nobody else would help them.
No capital market in the private sector would risk a few million dollars to do that. That's why NASA is critical, because NASA, as part of its R&D, is thinking 5, 10, 20 out years in the future to what we're going to need as a society to maintain an advanced civilization and to make the country richer.
So you're going to be named the head of NASA if the Libertarian wins, yes or no?
I haven't talked to Bob Barr about that yet, but stay tuned.
I offer that to you first.
I know.
Maybe we got the gears rolling now, huh?
Well, what I find fascinating is that I have somehow come in through another doorway into this incredible political season where we have some very interesting candidates with all different points of view, and I really have the feeling that we're going to have one of the first substantive discussions with a wide range of philosophical perspectives and platforms and proposals for the first time maybe in decades, where the acrimony and the backbiting and the name-calling will take a second tier to actual substantive policy discussion of where we are going. Because I said Friday night, we have a window. We have a window of about 4 years to maintain the United States of America in the style to which we obviously want to remain accustomed. And then that window closes, and terrible things are on the horizon. And when you hear the entire tape and transcript, you'll hear what I mean.
Yeah, give us some notes, too, because I've got to cut it down to about 15 minutes. And cutting you down to 15 minutes from over 2 hours is going to be an art.
This is going to be interesting to see what you think is important about what I say.
Well, I will. And Tommy, by the way, this is what's so great about technology. Richard, here I am in St. Louis. He's back in L.A., and I see a little tiny video picture of him jumping up and down. And he's telling me to please get you to the tape by Wednesday.
Well, I can give you a DVD, or I can actually send you as an MP3 through the Internet, so we won't have to wait on post office and all that.
Can you send 2 hours worth of an MP3?
Of course.
Okay, won't clog up everybody?
No.
Okay, all right, good.
No.
Do that, send it to me, send it to Tom, and we'll get it. Oh, Danny tells me no, he can't take that.
Oh, he can't?
Too big for him, too big for our system, yeah.
All right, so you have to have like a DVD FedEx?
Yes.
Okay.
A DVD or a CD, something like that.
We can do that.
Okay, very good. And send it up to Los Angeles.
Will do, and Tommy will tell me where.
All right, lastly, quick question. With all that's been going on this planet, going to Mars, everything else, what do you think's going to happen this year? What do you think strange is going to happen this year? I got 30 seconds for you.
Well, I've said to many people in terms of the political season that between now and November is going to appear like 10 years because of the acceleration of the physics. By the way, I had some serious discussions about hyperdimensional physics and consciousness and technology and this inflecting curve, it's going to appear to all of us as if we've lived 10 years in the next 5 to 8 months.
All right, that's our man, Richard C. Richard, got to run. I got to get these phone numbers out. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line is 818-501-4109. Open lines, Richard C. Hoagland, thank you. We look forward to getting that tape back in a moment.